Welcome to Strongest on the Field Radio, where we aim to educate youth athletes, sports coaches, strength coaches, and parents on sports performance.
Yo, welcome back to Strongest on the Field Radio. Today we have a record breaking podcast. We're going interstate. Would you call that?
Yeah, interstate podcast. We did it with Tyler. I mean, he was in.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, yeah. Tyler. But this is the furthest we've gone.
Right. Yeah.
And this time I figured it out. This is Juan G, by the way. Today we got some special guests. Next to me I have
Ronnie from Torrance.
This is Chris P from Torrance.
And our two guests, if you guys want to shout out where you're from, who you are.
Yeah, I'm Zach, part of the OPVA, train out of Old School here in Columbus, Ohio.
I'm Tyler, also part of the OPVA. We're the co-founders. Both train out of Old School Gym in Pasco, Ohio. We're both located here in Columbus, Ohio.
Sick. Ronnie and I went to Ohio not too long ago, earlier this year, and we got to go meet the guys at Old School, train a little bit. It was super awesome. The energy there was super high. Ronnie and I talked about if we were to train in Ohio, that would be the spot to train. We would love to hang out with you guys. We kind of started the same movement of training super early. I think it's this shared mentality that we have to kind of get better, show like this disciplined thing, wanting more out of life, which is super awesome. Also kind of why we linked up, kind of got along, and why we want to continue the conversation with you guys.
We had a fun time visiting all these gyms out in Ohio, and it was an eye-opener for all of us because of the California culture. It's completely different from the culture out there in Ohio. And, you know, there was a certain tension when you walked in certain gyms, but when we walked into Old School, it was this, yes, let's get after it, but hey, we're gonna help each other, and we're gonna do it together. And that was very cool for you guys to, I mean, not knowing who we were, you guys had no clue who we were, and you guys just, hey, you're here with us at 4 a.m. and you guys want to work out, and you guys were embracing it, and that was really cool to see and to be invited. So huge shout out to you guys for your hospitality. And you know, as Juan told you before we started recording, you guys are good to go down here. So
actually, what you guys don't know, and don't tell Corey this, but the day that we went before, I went super ghetto Mexican. We were knocking on the door, no one would answer, no one was there, and I guessed the code. I just looked at the numbers on the pad, and I took a good guess, and the door opened. So that's how we got in the first day.
1, 2, 3, 4, pound.
We have a lot of visitors or a lot of listeners. They might sneak into Old School.
Yeah, well, we were fortunate enough because we did try doing it the right way. At least, I mean, it was late notice for us, but we tried doing it the right way. We called, and I think there was a number or something we tried calling. It was very early, and we couldn't get through anybody. And Juan, I don't know what his background is.
Blew Ronnie's mind.
He's not sharing some of his background, but
Ronnie's
he was able
never
to
watched the movie before.
Well, I don't know what you've done before, but he has some experience unlocking some stuff.
I've lived a life.
He walked up to the thing and then just put in some codes, and we got a green light. So, yeah, it was cool. It was cool. So,
yeah. Let's start with. Do you want to go rock, paper, scissor, one by one, kind of who you are, who, what, where, kind of sports that you played. And then after that, after the introductions, we'll talk about movement that you guys are trying to do.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Old School, it literally is Old School. Sometimes it's hard to get in contact with them. But actually, the door knob is broken right now, so there's just a wood block that opens it up. So you literally is just walking. You don't have to put a code in anymore.
They got us. Okay. Yeah. But it's I think now everyone's got like a number. So not 1, 2, 3, 4 anymore.
Damn it. Can't go back now.
No.
Yeah.
Well, we'll figure it out.
We'll leave the door open for you.
Hey.
You guys.
What's up?
we're definitely going to come out to you guys. We want to check out Deuce. That place is, man, I love all the pictures you guys post, man. It's so cool out there.
Do you guys have outdoor training or not really? I don't know if that's a silly question, but you guys do stuff outside?
Tire flipping outside counts.
Okay. Yeah, it does.
We got a little section of grass that we can use, but nothing like what you guys have.
Got it. I mean, the weather plays a huge factor in the way Venice is set up, so, yeah.
Yeah, it's always cold here, it seems like, but...
Yeah. So, you guys, how long have you guys been training at Old School? And what was your background going into that place?
Sure.
Yeah, so I started training there March 2016. I'm from, like, a smaller area in southeastern Ohio. And my background, I played high school soccer and baseball. And then...
What?
Nothing at the collegiate level, just a lot of pickup basketball on the streets. And, you know, I coached varsity soccer and junior high soccer as well for 2 years before moving to Columbus. And then since I've been here, I haven't really coached or just played a little pickup, looking for a little. I mean, I do want to get back into coaching eventually. I was a strength and conditioning as well as like offensive and goalkeeper coach. At the varsity level, so I want to get back into that. Definitely probably the strength and conditioning, but goalkeeper as well, because that's what I played in high school. Zach played a little bit higher level than I did. He's a little bit better than me.
I grew up pretty much in Columbus. I'm from around here, been here most of my life, but I played soccer most of my life growing up, played a little bit of baseball too in middle school, but as we got older, I kind of just gravitated more to focusing on soccer. And my high school team, actually pretty well known here in Columbus, my junior year, we were state runners up in Division I, and then my senior year, we won the state championship. And then I actually went on to play soccer at Capital University, a little school here, but it's D3. I was listening to some of your guys' podcasts. Sounds like you guys had another D3 guy on a couple weeks back, but you know, that was the best experience of my life. I played a couple years there. I played striker, so try to score some goals. But that's my background, man. I kind of fell in love with the weightlifting, kind of the strength and conditioning side of it through soccer.
When was your guys' first exposure to strength training? Mine was very delayed, and then kind of like a passion developed. Did you guys have an early exposure, and then it kind of developed, or how was that journey for you guys?
Strength training then. I was just in the gym trying to bench press 135 and curl some weight, like nothing crazy.
That's how we all started.
I mean, nothing. I mean, in high school, I went to a super small school, so like not even the football team really trained. I mean, they did some stuff, they benched, but they weren't really like top proper technique or proper programming or anything like that, especially soccer. They're like, you guys don't need to lift weights, go out there and run and try and kick the ball, you know, so nothing strength-wise.
I would probably say pretty similar situation with me. You know, my high school, we had some pretty big football boys, and actually football team had their own, I think my freshman and sophomore year, they had an outside strength and conditioning coach came in. So I would try to get in there with the football guys sometimes. The soccer team in our off season, we trained, you know, maybe once or twice a week in the weight room, but it was pretty basic. But I started to realize that, you know, I'm fortunate for this, but at a young, you know, around 13, 14, 8th grade and freshman year, that, you know, being stronger outside of, you know, off the soccer field, kind of, it really helped me translate my skills into the, you know, soccer field. So it helped a lot. I was always a little bigger. I was a bigger soccer player. I was never too, you know, the typical, what you get, the you know, skinnier guy. I didn't want to be pushed off the ball, so... You know, fortunately, I try to jump in as much as I could with the football guys. You know, so I started training with them, you know, a little bit on my own too, probably around my freshman year, 14. That's when I really, you know, just started falling in love with it. You know, I saw really how it translated. You know, I started to see I became a better soccer player, you know, as my, you know, as the strength and conditioning aspect increased in my life too, so.
Yeah. Now, Ohio being what I think Ronnie and I and Chris would consider like a strength capital. How did you guys go about education? Like, did you have any formal education, or just by exposure of all like the strength coaches around your area? Just because all roads that lead back to Ohio is kind of what we've been finding, and like there's gnarly strength coaches there. So kind of where was the education from?
Strong, and I think the two states, honestly, man, that, you know, strength comes from is Cali and Ohio, man. It's like, I think if you want to be in this field, like, these are the places you got to be. But I think a lot of these roads lead back to West Side. You know, it's crazy. But,
yay!
You guys stop there. That place is beyond. You know, it's crazy. You guys went.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got wrecked.
As we all know, like, West Side has played a huge role. I mean, it's a very polarizing environment, right? You either love it or you hate it. But I feel if you're open to it and at least learn to extract certain elements from it and implement into your own methods of strength and conditioning for athletes, I mean, you can't go wrong. It's just that, you know, Louis is such a, like I said, polarizing figure, and the strength and conditioning world is sort of like it's more inviting, where from the outside looking in, Louis's not that type of person. But once you get to meet him, at least for our experience, he was a very nice guy. If you had a question, he would answer it for you. He was trying to give you as much information as he could. So, yeah, I mean, Westside is a really cool place to at least learn a fundamental aspect of conditioning. You guys are there, so that's really cool.
We got a taste the day that we went to go work out with you guys. Do you guys want to share the training philosophy and culture at Old School, how that goes about around, and then kind of how you guys maybe structure workouts there?
Yeah, for sure. Tyler's been there a lot longer than me. So we do, you know, Corey pretty much programs not everything for us, but for the most part, you know, we follow like Corey Gray's. For those of you who don't know, Corey Gregory, founder of Max Effort Muscle, Old School Gym, Corey G Fitness, little plug there.
He's done it all.
Yeah, he's done it all. Yeah, that's how I got started to working out. I was on bodybuilding.com, I think, this in between my freshman and sophomore year of college, and I was like trying to try out for the, I went to Ohio University, it's a Division I school, was trying to try out for their baseball team. I was like, I have to get stronger. So I was on bodybuilding.com just looking for workouts, and I came across this dude. And I'm like, yeah, he's pretty peeled up and he's strong, so I'm going to see what he's on. And just started following his training then, following him on social media. So that's what led me to Old School. So he's kind of a mix of everything. You know, he's bodybuilding. He's a little bit of Olympic lifting, powerlifting. So that's kind of how he structures our workouts. You know, we'll start, he's big on the squat every day. He created that squat every day program. So we've been squatting every day for something like 2 years. And so we start our workouts with a squat, and it's definitely like the West Side conjugate method. So each day is a new squat. We don't back squat every single day to a one rep max. We switch up that conjugate, and then after that, it's just a ton of volume. We have some compound lifts, you know, your rows, bench press, overhead presses, things like that. But then we also isolate the muscle a lot, too. And everything's just a ton of volume, so it really blows you up.
One thing that I really liked that kind of stood out from Old School is yes, you guys are – there is a certain bodybuilding aspect to it, but you guys are also trying to build functionality. I know functional is a very – a word that gets thrown around a lot. It's almost boring to say that word, right? But honestly, that I mean, without it being cliche, it is a very functional or purpose-based training out there. Whereas out here, at least we don't find that, where you're either strictly bodybuilding or you're strictly, CrossFit. You know, performance-based. And you guys do an excellent job of bringing or merging those two worlds together. And obviously you guys... you guys are doing it so well that you guys decided to start your own competition based around that template. So, yeah, just big kudos to you guys for bridging the gap between both and how And we deal with a lot of high school athletes, a lot of younger athletes who, you know, you can tell them how important it is to have, you know, strong posterior chain and what it means to extension and all this stuff, and they could care less, man. They just want to look good. They want the biceps, they want the chest, they want the abs, and you know, so for you guys, I know it would be a much easier conversation, because if an athlete comes in and they want that, you just say, okay, look, we got that. And then if you have an athlete coming in saying, hey, I want performance, whoops, guess what? We got that too. So you guys do a good job of combining both elements. And, yeah, so that just comes from Corey, or is that you guys also kind of putting in your two cents? And do you guys add your own elements to your own personal strength conditioning?
So the programming we follow, it's actually called Get Stacked. It comes out once a month. It's like a four-week trainer. Like, you know, we'll follow the workouts for 4 weeks, but cool thing that we get to do is usually near the end of the month, we'll go through like a week or two of a testing phase. So we'll just, you know, do a lot of different stuff, kind of throw our two cents in, just try out different things. Like actually, the last 2 months now, we're working on a dunking program Corey's putting together.
Yeah, I saw that. Everyone's trying to dunk.
Yeah, so we're doing a lot of more like Olympic lifting stuff, a lot of explosive movements. So we're starting to incorporate that stuff too. And you know, Corey listens to us, you know, we kind of like, you know, respond to him, let him know what's working for us and what's not. So yeah, it's definitely like an open conversation with him. It's been a lot of fun. We love the jumping stuff. We're trying, our kind of our goal right now, me and Tyler, we're trying to see the first one to dunk.
So, how tall are you guys?
I'm 5'10 on a good day. I think you, yeah, Tyler, maybe a hair, like nothing crazy, maybe like 5'11. I tell everyone I'm
6 foot. Hey, I tell everyone my attitude's 6'4". And I'm 5'6". Awesome. I think this is a good transition point to like, yeah, it's Corey's gym. We've talked about Corey. I think we are the next generation, I guess, of the strength world, or we're trying to be, right? There's mentors or people or role models that we look up to. But I think what is awesome, you guys are in a culture, we're in a culture to where we're pushed by our mentors and our role models to kind of create our own thing. Do you guys want to now lead in to talk about OPBA, what that is, what the movement is, what you're trying to accomplish, all that juice?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I'll kind of start from the beginning. You know, Tyler and I, so Tyler has always competed mainly in powerlifting, and I've done bodybuilding, and, you know, we've always, you know, kind of trained. You know, I've always trained powerlifting too, but I, you know, I never competed. I've done two now this year. And, you know, we kind of always had these conversations like, you know, why can't you do both? Like, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, I almost feels like there's this little argument sometimes between the bodybuilders and powerlifters, like, you know, you can't do both, or, you know, to be a powerlifter, you got to be pretty big. To be a bodybuilder, you can't be pretty strong. You know, Tyler and I always saw a problem with that, and we, like, didn't really understand why you couldn't have both. So, you know, our kind of mantra is, you know, raw strength, you know, building aesthetics. So, you know, we kind of just always have wanted to push that envelope. Like, you can do both. Like, there doesn't have to be the stipulation of where you have to be a big powerlifter or, you know, a weak bodybuilder and just, you know, go for looks. Like, you really can have both and
yeah,
be fine on both. Aspects, so.
Do you guys follow Michael Hearn at all?
Yeah.
So, like, I think he's been training like that, but there's never been a competition for it,
right? No.
How would my question, like, how would you measure the aesthetics in powerlifting? How would judging go?
That's your weight for the entire weekend.
Because the other way would be fucked up. Oh, sorry, yeah. F-bomb.
Yeah, good talk, for sure.
So then powerlifting is on Sunday, and then we try and come in as best condition as possible. And we were going over it this morning. You know, you have your typical rounds. You come out, you know, just kind of standing next to each other. Then you have your, you know, front double bicep, lat spread, all that stuff. You know, the classic, a big influencer for us was back to Arnold Encyclopedia Bodybuilding. You know, just been looking through that, just trying to see what they did back in that day.
Golden era classic.
exactly. Yeah. Pumping Iron, how they did it, you know, what movements they did, stuff like that, you know, what stood out to them. So we're going to have, like, a couple different things. So it's just not best overall. We're going to judge that, obviously. But then you have, like, best chest, best abs, best legs.
That's dope.
Everything. So that way, it's like, yeah, you might be the best overall, but this dude really, I mean, his abs just stick out. You know, this dude's chest is just unreal. You know, it's the Serge Nubre chest, you know what I mean? Just something like that. And then it comes in the next day, and you just got to be, I mean, the numbers are going to speak for themselves. You just got to be as strong as possible. So that area is a little bit easier to judge because you
know, yeah.
The way, you know, the aesthetics, you know, we're going to try and stick that to as close to the golden era as possible. So you might not be as lean as, like, the current bodybuilders are, you know, because back in the day, they weren't like, 3% body fat. They were 4%. I mean, they were freaks, but they weren't like they are today, you know. There's some other stuff that plays a factor in that.
And we're trying to avoid that turtle shell ab look, you know.
Vacuum. Going for the vacuum.
Exactly.
So are the different days going to be separate events, or is there going to be a mixed score?
So it's going to be a mixed score. We're going to have we're going to do awards a little bit differently. So we're going to have that, you know, overall bodybuilder, and then we're going to have awards for bodybuilding and then powerlifting as well. But we're going to have one overall winner who is, you know, looks the best. We have, like, a point system for the bodybuilding, how, you know, however you place, you're going to be awarded so many points. And then we're going to translate to powerlifting as well. Like, you're going to get so many points for based on your total divided by your body weight, kind of like the WIMP scoring.
Yeah.
You're going to be awarded for that, and then combine the points, and then we're going to have overall champs.
How are you going to categorize people? Are they just going to stay? Like, for example, if I'm 180, bodybuilding's by height is what I'm getting at. Powerlifting's by weight. How are you going to make that mix?
Sign up in the end, but we're going to divide it into divisions based on your body weight.
Yeah.
So weigh in Saturday morning for your bodybuilding class, okay? And that's actually going to be a 24-hour weigh-in too for your powerlifting.
Go eat your face off.
Exactly. Right after the show, and then so you'll be placed in your your division for your body weight, and then we'll separate them. So we won't actually be placing people depending on their height. It's going to be more based on your weight, what you put
yeah.
at. So we're kind of giving people the option to, you know, play their hand, you know. So if you want to come in maybe a little more lean and perhaps not as strong or not as lean, but, you know, maybe with a little more mass to move, you know, move the bar a little more. So we're kind of, you know, trying to play that card too, where we're giving people the option to, you know, really, you know, work to their strengths and abilities. But in the end, we really want to find out who can look the best but also be the strongest.
Yeah. Are you guys going to go classic lifts for powerlifting, or is there a strict press going to be involved ever?
Yeah, it's just going to be, for our first show anyways, the squat, bench, and deadlift.
Cool.
How has your nutrition changed trying to kind of mix both in and not just doing the powerlifting and or not just doing the bodybuilding? Has that changed at all for you guys?
Mine hasn't, per se. I keep it pretty simple. No matter what I'm training for, I always adjust my training as opposed to my nutrition. And then, obviously, if I'm finding that my training is, you know, pretty intense and I need to up, you know, like the carbohydrates or something like that, then I'll make that adjustment later. I always adjust my training first and then my nutrition later.
Are you guys both anabolic fasting?
Yeah, to an extent, you know, I mess with it a little. I think the whole nutrition world, like, you know, I think it just comes down to the individual. Obviously, it's different for everyone. So,
yeah,
you know, like me personally, I find that I need a little more carbohydrates. You know, and just a misnomer with all this, you know, we do so much volume that, you know, we all stay relatively lean throughout the year. Most of us at old school, so
yeah,
you know, it's we kind of you know, going into this, we're messing with it a little, you know, and seeing where it goes. But yeah, I mean, I fall anabolic fasting pretty much to
to a T. I throw in some extra carbs there because I need it. But yeah, I'd say most of guys.
So instead of half the tub of ice cream, you eat the whole tub.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a few more Oreos.
Or what is Corey? Corey likes the fucking tacos, right?
Yeah, he's a taco.
Taco, no pizza. He's anti-pizza.
Yeah, we can't say we're the same, but we love our pizza here.
What kind of habits have you guys built to sustain this fitness thing over a long period of time? Is there daily kind of quote-unquote rituals that you guys have or do that mentally stay in it besides the being around the culture? Because I know like that helps a lot, having a big group of people. No matter how tired or stressed or emotional you are, you get to the gym. Are there any other things that you guys do on a daily basis that help you push through?
I had a couple of people hit me up on Instagram and Twitter about how much they're influenced by not only by myself, Corey and the crew. You know, because before I was like, people are inspired by Corey.
Right.
They only care if Corey's at the gym, what Corey's doing. But then I've had a couple of people hit me up and they're like, yo, man, like you're super inspiring to me. And, you know, I'm trying to get to where you are, whether it be friends from high school or college or just.
That's awesome.
Hit me up in Oklahoma City. I'm a Thunder fan and he's a writer for the Thunder. I was like, he hit me up and asked me to help him with something. I'm like, dude, why are you reaching out to me?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Those are sick moments. I've gotten a few of those, and you're like, dude, there's people watching. People care. So then you're like, I got to keep doing it.
So when I think about hitting that snooze button or, you know, coming home, and I know I have to work on this program or this thing for the OPBA, or I promised this person I'd help them with this program or this nutrition, it's like, I'm going to not hit the snooze button in the morning. That way I have all night so I can work on that stuff and kind of help other people. And it makes me want to come home and help them instead of just come home and, you know, eat, watch Netflix, hang out. I actually want to do something to help them. And definitely waking up at 4 a.m., or I guess we train at 4 a.m., so waking up at 3:30, it's about a 20-minute drive to the gym. So waking up that early allows me that time at night and just kind of helps create that I guess extra time. I mean, everyone talks about having the same 24 hours in a day.
Yep.
So we sleep a little bit less, work out in the morning that we have the rest of the day because we both work a 9-to-5 per se.
What do you guys do? If that's we can ask that.
Yeah, we have we actually work for the same company. It's called Cardinal Health. It's a just like a big medical pharmaceutical company and. He works in finance. I work in data and analytics.
They separated you two because otherwise you guys would be in trouble all the time, huh?
Yeah. Hopefully no one hears this, but we'll take our lunch breaks and we'll meet over and we'll work on the OPBA.
Yeah.
Don't worry, we don't have that many listeners right now.
Yeah, this is basically for us. This is so when we get sentimental about Ohio, we just play this back to each other so we can remind ourselves how cool it was. Yeah.
Dude, it was dope. I haven't seen the snow in I don't know how long. We had a blast when we went. I got a speeding ticket. I don't know if I told you guys. It's kind of a long story, but we got pulled over. I have a California ID. We're brown. The car is from Florida.
Florida.
So he comes in. The officer comes.
Was it
in.
A Fiesta?
Is this some small car? Is this your car? No. Long story. Try to explain everything. He then asked us for supplement advice and exercise advice for 20 minutes. Still gave us the ticket. BS. Yeah, man.
I've actually got a pretty similar story to that. Yeah. I was rolling through. Where'd you guys get your ticket at?
Somewhere between Cleveland and Ohio.
In Columbus.
In Columbus?
Somewhere between Cleveland and Columbus.
Oh, I said Ohio.
You said Ohio. Yeah. But yeah, what happened, Zach? What happened, Zach?
I got pulled over on the road to Old School, like 2 miles away. It was like 3:45 in the morning, and this dude pulls me over. I'm like, what are you doing, man? Like, go back to sleep in your cop car. Pulls me over, and he's asking me where I'm going. I told him I was going to the gym. You know, it was my birthday month. It was like a week after my birthday. I didn't renew my license yet. I didn't renew my tags yet. I knew I had to do it. So, man,
bro, that's on you.
Yeah, I have plenty of time. But they're not going to bust me. I'll drive safe, whatever, and I'll go whenever. So he pulls me over. I actually didn't have my wallet with me because I just go to the gym and come home. So I had no license.
Everything was just wrong. Everything just...
Expired tags, expired license, and he asked me where I was going. I said, oh, my gym's just a few miles down the road. And he left, came back, and he asked me if I knew everything was expired. And I was like, yeah, man, I'm sorry. He's like, all right, go to old school. There's a DMV across the way. Hit that up when you leave. Have a good day.
You got lucky.
I was so lucky, man. Yeah. So lucky.
Yeah, this cop knew about old school and whatnot. Yeah. It was just...
Oh, there you go.
To say the least. I'd be in jail right now.
That's funny.
Cool. All right, well, we have some regular segments we have started to ask our interviewees. Is that what you call them? Interviewees, right?
Yeah. Are you getting into those right now?
Yeah.
Could I ask a couple?
Yeah.
Okay. Zach and Tyler, real quick. You guys, what are some of the things that had you known back then about weightlifting, strength training, that you would have implemented in your playing days? Is there anything that stands out that you're like, man, I wish I would have started this particular thing back then? Yeah, for any athletes listening out there.
Yeah, for sure. The football team did a lot, and I honestly kind of stayed away from it because, like most of us, I just wanted a big chest and big arms. But so I was doing a lot of bodybuilding stuff when I was playing a lot of soccer. But there's a lot of the explosive stuff, like especially Olympic weightlifting and a lot of that stuff. I mean, we're doing that, you know, jump program now, and it's like, fastest I've been, highest I can jump, and you know, I'm not even in sport now, but you know, my girlfriend Kelsey, she does a lot of Olympic weightlifting, and I've been getting more into that too, and I can't tell you guys enough like how like just fast I feel and how high I can jump now, and it's, you know, I wish I kind of gravitated more towards that at least in my playing days, because that stuff really translates over. I mean, just being explosive, like, you know, not necessarily being muscular, but just being strong and explosive. That's something I wish I got a little more into.
What are you guys? Were you going to say something, Tyler?
I just wish I would have done it.
Yeah. Right?
My dad played football, and he always was harping on me. He's like, all right, let's go to the garage and let's work out. And I was like, Dad, I played soccer. I don't need to work out. I don't need that. I don't need to be big for soccer. I wish I would have just done it in general.
Yeah. Zach, what do you feel makes a successful college athlete? Like, what are some basic tenets, some basic factors that make them, that could give an athlete a good opportunity at success?
Yeah. You know, at least, you know, regardless of the division you're in, you know, I think the mindset I always had was like, you know, it's a privilege to be here. And I always try to keep that in mind. I think a lot of, I don't know exactly what the culture is like in the D1, you know, atmosphere, but, you know, I think some of these athletes, like, kind of get the sense that they are supposed to be there, and, like, you know, it should be more of a privileged mindset.
Mm.
You know, with that said, too, you know, I think kept me successful, because I kept training in season, too. I worked a part-time job, but, you know, I always did. My best grades were always when I was in season in school, too, but it comes down to planning. I think that's what makes, you know, anyone successful, but especially in college. You know, I always just, you know, I had a planner. I always just, you know, prioritized everything and made sure, you know, like now, you know, training is the most important thing in my life right now. So that's why we go at, you know, 4 a.m. So that would be my word of advice. You know, just, you know, understand it's a privilege. You know, it's a blessing to be, you know, to be able to play a college sport. You know, that's in the grand scheme of things, that's the top 1%.
Yeah.
So, regardless of the division. So have a privileged mindset and just know it's, you know, every day you got to work for it. Sweat equity, you know?
It's hard because you don't realize that till after. For a lot of athletes, I've gone to a couple of D1 practices, and sometimes the environment feels like, oh, this is just life, and them not understanding that this is pretty much the highlight of your athletic career. Most of you, sorry, are not going to go pro. Like, you need to live it. This is it. This is your heyday. And it's like a privilege, and I don't think they understand that. We don't understand that till like later, and you're like, damn, those were the days. We need to cherish this. And maybe if we did understand that, the effort might have been there to where we could have gone to the pro level. So super cool. Hopefully somewhere down the line, a 12-year-old listens to this and is like, you know what? I'm going to go for it.
Yeah. So yeah. Zach and Tyler, you guys aren't parents, right? You guys aren't parents yet. You guys don't have kids.
Not that you know of.
But because you guys, your life revolves around or is very much inspired by the weight room. If you guys were to have kids at some point, how would that conversation go? Is this something that you would push on them? Is this something that you would wait to a certain age to introduce? Or how would you guys approach that?
So I definitely think from a young age, it's good to just have an understanding of your body. And one thing that I'm still bad about, and I'm 25, is like mobility and stretching. So even if they're out weightlifting, just kind of get them to learn their body and learn how to move efficiently and effectively. And then I hope my girlfriend's not listening, but I would like to start them weightlifting at like a young age, 8, 10. 12,
so why do you say that comment? Why do you feel – is it do women have a more – they feel it's more risky to have kids lift? Or is it just you feel your girlfriend? Or is that just a women thing? I don't know what it – What that meant.
She told me I pushed into sports, so, but I don't think I play sports.
Yeah. So you would introduce weightlifting early on?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just off Tyler's comment, I don't know. If they find it, obviously I'm going to support that. But I think the thing that came with me getting more into bodybuilding and powerlifting and all that, it's like, I started to have a bigger interest in just how my body worked. And I think that just, in turn, like, makes you a healthier person and a better person. So, whether it's, starting them younger with the weights, which, I would support 100%. I think it makes you a better person.
That was it. That was my only question.
But, I think a great thing that comes with it is, like, a bigger interest in just how to be healthy. Whether that's with a barbell or just having a bigger interest in your nutrition. So I think that not just weightlifting and sports both teach you discipline in life. And that's, what weightlifting has taught me is carried over to my work life, to my personal life, everything. That discipline that I learned in the gym and on the field from high school has helped me develop all around as a person, I think. And that's a good lesson to teach kids. I know back from where I'm from, some of the kids that don't play sports, they don't really have a direction in their life. And I think, either weightlifting or sports could provide that to them.
Yeah, definitely. That's kind of like the vision that we saw with this podcast and spreading the word and building habits. I mean, there's different ways of teaching lessons, but what we can provide, what you guys can provide, is the lessons that we've learned and passed those on to hopefully a better, bigger generation now that we live in a country that is not as mobile and not wanting more.
We're the most obese country. There was a research released like a week ago. The study was based in 2015. The numbers from 2015. We were number one, the most obese country, and we had the highest population of obese children in the world. So
we're all fighting the fight.
Pizza and whatnot for lunch, and I'm just like, man, it makes sense. Those studies don't surprise me when I see them.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are doing a great job of balancing a full-time job and training.
Excellent.
So
yeah.
And everyone says, I don't have time to train. Well, what do you have time for then? Like, what have those other hours been taken up with? So that's awesome.
Cool.
All right, so we got this fire round of questions that we were going to ask before that we are starting to ask our interviewees. If you need a second, tap the other person in and buy yourself some time. is there a favorite book that you have right now or a favorite book in general that you would recommend?
Yeah, I'm reading Barbell Buddha's Chris Moore, RIP.
Ooh, I haven't read that one yet.
It's just a collection of all his writings. He's like, him and Corey are probably two dudes I look up to most in this field. It's more book on your life and how to balance everything. I'd recommend it to anyone.
Tyler, you have one?
It's called Entrepreneur or Wantrepreneur. It's by
Fosco.
Fosco, yeah.
Absolutely. Hey,
it's a great book. It's not what you want. It's not the spoon fed. Oh, if you want to be an entrepreneur, do this. It's like, yo, maybe you're not built for this. Here's what
it lifting's like, not for everyone.
Yeah.
Favorite music artist. Who?
Post Malone.
Oh, Post Malone. Okay.
Yeah, I'm a big Wiz fan, man.
Yeah. He hasn't put out anything in a while, right? Or has he?
Well, I'll be honest. I loved his mixtape days.
Oh, back.
Yeah. What mixtape or what album do you like?
Probably Cushion OJ was my favorite.
Ew. Yeah. I remember that one.
Tyler, what's up, bro? Come on. Oh, I thought you were just anti-Wiz. I thought you were just shaking your head anti-Wiz.
I love Wiz Khalifa.
Yeah.
He was my favorite.
Yeah. New Wiz stuff, not so big of a fan. Old Wiz stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Boxer or briefs?
Briefs, yeah.
Well, boxer briefs, actually.
Yeah, I'm a briefs guy.
Ronnie just goes none.
None.
He doesn't want to risk the skid marks. Daily morning habit.
Roll out of bed, take some pre-workout straight to the dome, and jump in my car to go to
the... Do you just go scoop to mouth, or do you put it in water?
Scoop to mouth.
Scoop to mouth. What's up? That's, be about it.
That's intense.
Yeah, pretty much the same. I try to, when I wake up, I try to, like, walk around. I'll try to walk around outside, especially when it's warm out, just to, like, wake up. I'll try to do, like, breathing exercises, too. I've started that recently, and it makes a world of difference.
Do you take your pre-workout straight to the nose, the mouth, or water?
Water. And I'm trying to get away from it. I'm only doing, like, a half scoop now. Because that early in the morning, the caffeine doesn't even work. It's just, you're there purely on will. So,
right. Yeah.
Know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Favorite exercise or movement? Just one. Top one.
Deadlift. Mine's probably dumbbell pullover.
Ooh. Unique. Okay. Let me see them lats.
Yeah.
Favorite quote or piece of advice?
I'll go. I got mine on my forearm. It's stoke your fire. That's Chris Moore. Just basically follow your dreams. From day one, I knew this fitness stuff and health stuff was for me, so I'm just trying to pursue it every day. So
didn't everyone get old school tats also? Yeah. Oh, there you go, filling up the sleeve.
Tyler's got his.
We can't see it. You got to take your shirt off. Just kidding. Just kidding. There you go. You got
to
fill up the sleeve though.
I gotta start working on mine.
Would you guys get in trouble at work, or would they not care? All right, we got some other regular segments. If you guys want to jump in after our answers, I guess. Warm up or movements that you're loving right now, Chris, Ronnie. Dude, I don't have any new ones. Do I have any new ones? Hip circles on your hands and knees, just a warm up, internal, external rotation. Do you have any new ones?
Banded pigeon. It's throw the band around the highest part of your hip possible and go into a pigeon, open up your hip capsule a little bit. I feel that's been
pretty good, but it's been
talking too hard.
The staticky. I've been using that. I like that.
Chris?
I've been doing one. I'm holding or having them hold the bear position with the knees bent and then taking one hand off the floor to stabilize.
Is this DNS?
DNS, DNS, shoulders. Stabilization has been working for me, so.
That's Zach Tyler, do you have a warm up that you're loving right now?
Yeah, I'd probably jump on the train, but I just bought that that hip circle from Mark Bell.
Okay.
I love that thing.
Yeah.
I use that for everything. I do a lot of like real light GHDs too, just to wake everything up.
Yeah. Let's. Tyler, do you have one?
No, just glute ham raises. Absolutely, that's what I use to get the hamstrings going, and a little bit of foam rolling too, just to kind of wake everything up.
Yeah.
Favorite post of the week? You guys can social media, or if you guys know one from the top of the dome. My favorite post of the week is by Ben Bergeron. Talent without grit is just potential. Talent plus grit is unstoppable. Yeah. Do you guys have one?
I have one. Robin Sharma says, small, daily, seemingly insignificant improvements, when done consistently over time, lead to stunning results.
I got one. It was along those lines. Just by the movement fix, is what it takes to make a visible change is invisible. So doing the little things right will definitely pay off long term.
Gentlemen?
Got one. It's pretty simple. My buddy, I don't know if you met him when he was there. His name's Corey Carpenter. He started an apparel line, but he tweeted the letters FWYH. It stands for fuck what you heard. DMX, but pretty much that's what we live our lives by at Old School. It's fuck what you heard. I don't care what anybody says, just do you. Be proud of what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think for me, West Side's coming out with this new shirt. I think you guys in the church seen it, but
the 4th of July one?
Yeah. It's, I go to war to kill, not be killed. And I think that's a good mantra, you know. You need to attack, you know, attack life. And, you know, I think that's basically what they're trying to get across. I just like that mantra.
Yeah. Have you guys trained at West Side? Do you guys go over there at all?
I go hit or miss on Sundays. They do, like, a speed bench day.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there, it's just a kind of a different crew that goes in the mornings on Sunday. I'm not allowed with the big boys yet, so I go Sundays.
Yeah. Living in Ohio and so close to Westside, like my perception of Louis, since you live further away, might be different. Could you maybe describe the perception that the locals have of him? Cool.
Yeah, that's pretty much all. I mean, his word is golden. If you are anything and you want to be anything in the powerlifting industry, you look at Louis Simmons and see what he's doing, what he's done. Go to westsidebarbell.com to check out the workouts that they're doing and try and mimic that. Or I believe Elite FTS has some Westside Conjugate guys who write articles too. And I mean, that's all derived from Louis Simmons too. So his word is gold here.
Awesome. The next one we got is a favorite social media follow or shout outs or both. I wanted to start it off with, do you guys know Becca Longo?
No.
No,
she's the first D1 female kicker going to Adams State. I thought it was pretty awesome.
Adams State, what is that?
I don't know. This is a D1 school, though.
Wow.
So this is the first female to play D1 football.
That's huge. That's a cool one. I don't have a follow, but I have a post that I really liked. It was ESPN. Tyler and Zach, I don't know if you guys are big basketball fans, but the draft just happened, and the Ball brothers, right? The Balls, the Ball family, and the dad had been preaching how his son would be a Laker, and he was like, just like a prophet, trying to make it happen. And it ended up happening, which is ridiculous, for everything, for the stars to align, for things to happen. Now, what you think of the guy is something different, right? Whether you like the guy or not, you know, that's a different matter. But for the simple fact of all the things to culminate into his thought and his what he wanted to happen was ridiculous. So, hey, his son's a Laker. He's doing something right, you know? So, shout out to the Balls and you know, they're good for a reason.
Do you guys have any shout-outs or social media follows? OPBA, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Some of his posts about fitness and, like, the training that they do. And also, you know, I'm a big sports guy, so, like, the hard work that between that and, like, J.J. Watt, follow him on Twitter and Instagram. Just the stuff that he's doing. Unreal. I mean,
have you seen Antonio Brown, the stuff he does?
Oh, he's crazy.
Right?
Oh, man. Who's this? James Harrison?
James Harrison. And that's a,
like, something crazy.
It's one, and it, and then this brings up a big point, a huge point about social media and the presentation that, you know, they give, when in reality these guys are in the NFL and are succeeding at that very high level because they are so committed. And maybe we don't see it as a, you know, everyday, you know, fan, but these guys are grinding, and it's, you know, it's it, that's what it takes. That's why they're up there.
Boom. I think that's all the questions we got. It was awesome to talk to you guys again. I know we interact on social media all the time, but it was great sharing your stories of, like, what have you learned, the experiences. The whole goal for this conversation, this podcast, is to pass on lessons that we learned and kind of bypass mistakes that we may have had, and then kind of talk about the next generation of strength coaches coming up and projects and movements, and supporting each other. We've now started to move around the country, get to know other people that are coming up, and just we want to share and cross promote between everyone, and hopefully we can maybe one day go back to Ohio and compete in this new competition. We'll keep the conversation going. I think Venice would be an awesome spot to do a competition at. Logan, our the gym owner at Deuce Venice, would be more than open to do this. It's just great content, great new things to come. So thank you guys for having this conversation with us. Do you guys have anything else you want to say?
No, man, ready? Keep doing your thing. You guys, you know, 9 to 5, waking up at 4, creating your own, you know, competition. You guys are grinding. Keep doing it, man. It's inspiring, and it's huge. So shout out to you guys, and we'll stay in touch.
Boom. Follow me at JL Guadarrama on social media.
Ronnie Lopez, 21.
C Pasquale, 6.
Gentlemen.
What's...
Yeah, I'm at Zach_Matheny on Instagram. I'm just Tyler Treadway, 21.
Boom. And if there's anyone out there listening to this, you have questions, comments, want to be featured, please email us at radio@deuceathletics.com. Boom.
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks. Awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, gentlemen. We'll see you online.
Appreciate it.
See ya. Thank you, guys.